You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Father's Quilt. Thanks so much for joining us this afternoon here on Radio Maria. I'm your host, Christina Doyle, and today we're going to be talking about the how-tos, how to find optimism and hope in the darkest of places, how to find encouragement, how to encourage your heart. So today, we're going to be talking about things like that. So without further ado, I want to give a little prayer in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God of our salvation, your Son has made us children of the light and sealed us with the pledge of your love. We proclaim the greatness of your love and rejoice in your gift of salvation. Accept our worship as a holy offering, as we gather at the end of this day, and grant that we may always walk in the light of your glory. All praise and honor are yours, loving God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit forever and ever. Amen. Isn't that a lovely prayer, brothers and sisters? Well, I sincerely hope that this broadcast finds you well. So here's my question. How can Scripture help you when you're having, you know, kind of a down day? I usually turn to Scripture myself, and I find that no matter how gloomy the day may feel, I find myself picking out something from Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians. So I'm going to turn to that right now. Here it is here, 1 Thessalonians 5. And it is, because everybody's Bible might be a little different, some might be 5:6, but I've got 5:4. But you, beloved, are not in darkness, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. So then, let us not fall asleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who are drunk, get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober and put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has destined us not for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up each other, as indeed you are doing. So, rejoice, right, brothers and sisters, rejoice in good times and in bad. And I know even through COVID, even through that we have seen the Ukraine war. But Paul is asking us to rejoice. And you have to look hard at that, you know, and think about what kinds of things could I be rejoicing right now. I'm rejoicing in my family. the richness of good friends, and most importantly, the never-ending love of God. God's love is here and always, and that's cause for rejoicing. Would that I could sing it out loud? Maybe I will. Praying without ceasing. At first, that sounds like some incalculable burden. Like, how am I supposed to do that? When would I find the time? And how could I possibly pray without ceasing? There's just so much going on in my life. This might be something you're thinking about. Unless I added prayer to whatever was and is going on in my life, like maybe last night washing the dishes, I noticed a glint of light on one of the spoons and the bloom of some suds. Maybe I listened to the water coming out of the tap and washed it, wash away the soap. The way God washes away all those failings that burden me and maybe burden you, gone down the drain. Well, there it was, praying without ceasing, without even knowing I was doing it. Prayer, friends, is simply acknowledging God in your world. What joy to do that all the time, giving thanks in all circumstances, because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for us. All circumstances. Does that seem like a bit of a stretch for you? Well, think about being grateful. I've had a journal that I used to keep, well, I did keep, and it was really helping me through one of my darkest moments of my life. And it forced me to sit down and think of, let's say, five things that I'm grateful for that day. And when you look back on it and you think, well, gee, why are you grateful? Because the sun was shining? Well, maybe because it was the dead of winter and the sun came out and it was such a glimmer of hope that spring was on its way. You know, maybe the first time you saw Robin, maybe your children came home with a good report from their teacher. Maybe they've been, you know, maybe they're healthy and that's a blessing, right? Maybe today they weren't sneezing or coughing or sick. Today was a good day. Maybe today you didn't have a headache. You know, it goes on and on, brothers and sisters. But you get out of the habit sometimes, but maybe sometimes we all need to go back to that and really count our blessings. So sometimes you might think, oh my gosh, I didn't know how many things I was so thankful for. It could be almost like 100 things by the time you're done over the course of a week. So, you know, just thinking of an email that maybe a friend sent to you or a text message that was encouraging. It not only it feels good to write down those things, but it's fun to look back and see what you've written. And you double the thanks and triple the thanks in that way. Our circumstances do change from day to day, sometimes from hour to hour. But what doesn't change? God's enduring love never changes. So write that down. God's enduring love never changes. So turn to a Bible verse, brothers and sisters, when you are feeling down like that. And the other thing is, I don't know, but if you've ever heard of a book, let me see if I was going to have my student read this. It's called Man's Search for Meaning. Maybe you've heard of the book, right? And when we're talking about finding optimism and how to find optimism and hope in the darkest of places, well, it might be called tragic optimism, right? But it's meaningful. It's positive response to real suffering in life is what it is, right? But in 1984, the psychiatrist, author, and Holocaust survivor, Viktor Frankl, wrote a short essay as a postscript to his famous book, Man's Search for Meaning. The essay is called The Case for Tragic Optimism, and it maps hope against tragedy in a way that resonates with the quest for authentic positivity that we pursue all the time. So he says, I speak of a tragic optimism, writes Frankl, that is, an optimism in the face of tragedy and in view of the human potential. At its best, he continues, tragic optimism always allows for 1. Turning suffering into a human achievement and accomplishment. 2. Deriving from guilt the opportunity to change oneself for the better. And 3. Deriving from life's transitoriness an incentive to take responsible actions. Well, given the tragedies that Frankl witnessed and survived in a concentration camp, it would be impossible for him to write in a way that denied the reality of pain, suffering, and despair. In fact, his work and teachings are relevant today, specifically because of what he did with his full-throated acknowledgement of true tragedy in the world. Without Frankl's balanced approach, the scales could dangerously tip into either nihilism, in which nothing has meaning whatsoever, or toxic positivity, in which everything is always, always okay. Frankl offers us a framework in which optimism is always an option, but an option that is grounded in hard truths. Challenges can be reframed as opportunities. Mistakes can lead to new insight and profound inner change. And we can discover personal strength in the face of situations that are beyond our control. Researchers are looking at tragic optimism in the wake of the COVID-19 pandemic. One early study by Jessica Mead, a PhD student in the psychology department at Swansea University in the UK, found that among a number of positive psychological strategies, social connection, physical activity, connection with nature, gratitude and tragic optimism stood out as two factors that consistently increased well-being in people during lockdown. Gratitude and tragic optimism stood out as two factors in increasing the well-being of people during lockdown. At a time when we are cautiously stepping back into normal life, it is so important that we not pretend the tragedy of the pandemic could suddenly become ancient or irrelevant history. But neither do we need to abandon hope for a future in which we are connected, safe, and open to learn and grow together. So, how do you feel, my friends, about the idea of tragic optimism? Next, if you would turn to Philippians, let's see if I have, yes, Philippians 4 in your Bibles. Philippians 4, and I've got verse 8. But I'm going to read from 4-8. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. One of the most valuable and easiest skills I've ever learned was that of praying the Bible. I myself experienced great joy and effectiveness in not only reading God's word, but also in praying his words back to him. For many years, I've prayed a daily verse. I've prayed the Psalms. I've prayed in the morning and in the evening. Among my favorite places in the Bible to turn to when I pray is Philippians 4:8. Paul, the great first century church planter and letter writer, told the church in Philippi, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Think about such things naturally turns my mind to praying for those I love, those I meet, and especially those I don't know much about. So you might be praying for your daughter or son, your spouse, your parents. Lord, today, you might say, let's say you're praying for your daughter. Let her be guided by the truth of your word. Let her actions be noble and right. Keep her motives pure. Enhance her natural loveliness with the beauty of your presence. Make every choice she makes an admirable one. Let her work today be characterized by excellence and her conduct in everything be praiseworthy. Or I might pray for myself. Gracious God, open my eyes today to whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, give me eyes to see and the grace to give you thanks for it all. I might see a post on social media asking for prayer without offering any details, so you might pray at that point. Father, I don't know this person's need of the moment, but whatever it is, let whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, and excellent or praiseworthy flood into his situation and meet his need. The simple words of Philippians 4 provide such a powerful and purposeful and positive pattern for every kind of situation. It's really, my friends, it's really worth memorizing the verse if you haven't already. So you can pray it in private or in public whenever a need arises. Try it and let the truth and the beauty of Holy Scripture enhance and empower your prayers. So again, remember, it's Philippians 4, and I started at verse 4, rejoice. You know, my friends, I'm just checking time. Oh, good. Okay, so weakness may be one of the defining features of humanity, whether it's physical frailty, emotional pitfalls, spiritual failings. Every person has that stumbling block which widens the gap between the individual and God. Well, the answer is in Holy Scripture. It's to call on the Lord for strength. And there are reminders all over his word to do just that. One of the best sources of biblical encouragement calls for divine help is in the book of Psalms. King David authored many of the Psalms over the course of his life, with the rest being authored within his court or by temple musicians. This book covers the highs and the lows of the spiritual journey and some of the Bible's most famous verses and prayers, as well as some prophecies about the Messiah. Here are some of the most ardent cries for strength and God's aid pouring off the page and are available for all of us. So, some Psalms for strength. So, if you could turn to the book of Psalms, it's before the book of Proverbs. And I'm turning to Psalm 8, brothers and sisters. Psalm 8. Of course, there we go. Psalm 8. All right. Psalm 8. And that's the first two verses. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have founded a bulwark because of your foes to silence the enemy and the avenger. The Lord is... Oh, sorry. You know what I just did? I read to you... Not Psalm 8. It's Psalm 18. Oh, my goodness. What are you going to do with me? I thought, wait a minute. No, that's not. No, no. It's Psalm 18 and it's the first two verses. Oh, brother. Can you see I'm getting a little older? Uh-oh. Okay, here we go. Sorry about that, everyone. Psalm 18, first two verses. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, so I shall be saved from my enemies. It was written by David, and this psalm just showers the praise on the Lord for protecting and defending his servant through strife. The psalmist, or we call the Psalter, calls God rock four times. Imagery that Jesus Christ used centuries later in the parable about the two men who built their homes on the rock. I'm just moving my writing here, right? In Matthew 7, one house stood and one house fell. The house built on the rock, on God, stood firm. This psalm of praise and strength comes after a dark period when there was death, the torrents of destruction, the cords of Sheol, and the snares of death, serving the appropriate descriptions of the writer's circumstances. And that's Psalm 18, 4 and 5. The cords of death encompassed me. The torrents of perdition assailed me. The cords of Sheol entangled me. The snares of death confronted me. In the end, the rock holds and delivers David. And today, this psalm reminds the believers that life on the Lord and to call on him in distress, and he will prevail. As Psalm 18 states, you have given me the shield of your salvation, and your right hand supported me. And your gentleness made me great. So, brothers and sisters, that was Psalm 18. Then, depending on how much time, okay, I have time, okay, I just want to make sure. Psalm 27, if you will, and I'm sure about this one. All right, so Psalm 27, and it's the last verse. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Patience, brothers and sisters, patience. When we have to wait, we don't like waiting. But oh my goodness, we have to wait. God refines us like gold in the fire. He puts us, when we go through fire, it's not that he puts us there, but if when he allows that, there is a reason. We may not always know the whole picture. We're not to be concerned about the big picture. We're just to trust God, no matter what happens around us and to us, that we must trust him. Waiting is probably, as I say, one of the hardest aspects of life, and waiting on the Lord to provide proves even more daunting for many believers. Just sitting and hoping for change, for answered prayers, for a breath of wind in the doldrums puts a strain on many of us. And it's right here where the faith of many is strengthened or it breaks down. Psalm 27, my friends, is a psalm of strength, reminding those in a holding pattern that God has a plan that will prevail. Attributed to David again, and probably written during his early life on his relationship with Saul. The psalm opens with praise and challenge. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Right? When not in crisis, it's easy to trust in the Lord, right? It's easy. But in those times when it seems that he's so far away or even impossible, that you can't even seem to get yourself through these difficult times, the psalm reminds us that the believer to take the strength of the Lord's promises, because why? he will not fail. Psalm 3, and it's verses 3 and 4. But you, O Lord, are a shield around me, my glory and the one who lifts up my head. I cry aloud to the Lord, and he answers me from his holy hill. Another psalm written by King David, this serves both as a psalm of thanksgiving and as a psalm of strength. God saved David from the wrath of his son Absalom, who tried to usurp the throne. In the first two verses, the author laments how many enemies he has. And while many may not have militarized enemies at the gate like David, it can seem like the odds have been stacked against him. By the end of the psalm, however, the psalmist reminds himself and the reader that God redeems and blesses his people, knowing that at any point the Christian can cry out to the Lord, "Save me, O my God," with assurance that God will respond. And that, my friends, is a great source of comfort and strength. God protects and provides for his children, not just in this life, but for eternity. That is these beautiful psalms, my friends. And with time allowing me, maybe one more psalm, and that would be Psalm 46. And it's just the first verse. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. It's probably one of the most famous psalms for strength. The 46th psalm, inspired by Martin Luther to write his celebrated hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." Another Davidian psalm, it speaks to the solid and sheltering aspects of God's character, as well as highlighting that God is the ever-present helper. The beginning and the end emphasizes the Lord as the ultimate source of strength, saying, "The Lord of hosts, the God of Jacob, is our fortress." The Bible speaks about spiritual battles that one faces. The assurance that God is the barrier between humanity and spiritual pitfalls with confidence. And beyond that, the Lord speaks in this psalm. He declares in Psalm 10, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." Brothers and sisters, I shared these lovely psalms with you as well as, and we will continue, if we may, with Psalm, it would be Psalm 121, Psalm 84, and those, my friends, is the God who fights our battles, the God who acts as our shield and defender. So, brothers and sisters, the word of the Lord serves as a well of strength for us to turn to him, especially when we're under distress. And regardless of the circumstances, reading scripture, especially the Psalms, it's filled and strengthened with prayer that can invigorate your walk with the Lord. So blessed be God forever. Thank you so much, friends, for joining me this afternoon here on The Father's Quilt. I'm your host, Christina Doyle, and thanks again for being with me. God bless you. I've got no